This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 28th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, the longest legislative session in Illinois history has resulted in a lawsuit filed by the governor against House Speaker Mike Madigan. Illinois Public Radio's Amanda Vinicky will have the story. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana that calls for very warm conditions today. But first, a look at today's news. Champaign school board members last night looked over plans for making plans. In this case, the plans are long-range ones for Unit 4's future facility needs. School board member Christine Shalafu helped draw up plans for organizing citizen committees for studying those needs. She says it's important to get all sectors of the community to participate in the planning process and support the results.
The school board hasn't done a really good job of that in the past. That's been one of the goals of most of us on the school board, to get the community more involved. This long-range plan is just another thing that we need to get the community involved in, but community involvement is critical for making it successful.
The building projects tied to last year's failed Unit 4 bond referendum were also chosen by a citizens committee, but Shalafu says that committee focused on individual buildings and not the district's long-term educational needs. Unit 4 officials expect to have members chosen for the new planning committees by next month. A final plan from those committees would not be ready until next summer. Those interested in serving on the committees can contact Champaign School Board members through their main email address. That's u4boe@champaignschools.org. Monticello police say they're working toward the arrest of a college-aged female suspect in last April's case of a threat found in a girls' washroom at Monticello High School. The threat was scrawled on a mirror and promised, quote, "This will be Virginia Tech in 5 days," referring to the shootings at Virginia Tech University 3 days earlier. The threat led to heightened security at Monticello High, but while a similar threat was found in a boys' washroom at the school 2 weeks later, there was no violence. Monticello Police Chief John Miller says they've been working with state police and the FBI on the case and are looking to arrest a former student who no longer attends school in the Monticello district. He says he's turned the case over to Piatt County State's Attorney Leonard Rummery. Miller says he does not believe the instigators of the threat intended any actual violence. Mohammed Seymour School Board has ratified a contract for teachers and support staff. The 3-year contract was unanimously approved following a 90-minute meeting Monday morning. Board President Ned Hahn says not only does the plan give teachers yearly raises of 5% and support staff annual pay hikes of 6%, but it leaves the district with the means to upgrade in other areas.
We want to put some resources into our declining technology, and one of our goals over the last decade has been to try to reduce class sizes, and particularly in the elementary grades, because it has a positive effect on student learning.
Hahn says the contract's retirement language will serve as an incentive for teachers to pursue master's degrees and take other courses. He says the retirement funds will kick in earlier for those who have additional education. Negotiations between Mohammed Seymour's teachers and school board went on for several hours last week with the help of a federal mediator. Talks one night went on for 12 hours. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin says the resignation of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is a step forward for the Bush administration. Mike Rhee has that story.
Durbin had no kind words for Gonzalez. The Senate's second-ranking Democrat and member of the Judiciary Committee referred back to Gonzalez's testimony earlier this year regarding the firing of U.S. attorneys. Durbin says the AG's answers were disappointing.
It's a good thing that he's leaving, because we now have a chance to restore the morale of the Department of Justice. There are thousands of good people there, many of whom, unfortunately, have left recently. But those that remain, I think, can do a good job with the right kind of leadership.
Durbin says possible replacements for Gonzalez include former Deputy Attorney General James Comey and corruption-fighting U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald, though Durbin says Fitzgerald would be a long shot. Gonzalez will step down September 17th. I'm Mike Rhee.
An analysis by the Legislative Services Agency says property taxes in Indiana could be eliminated by raising other state taxes. The agency says it could be done by raising the sales tax from 6% to 13% or by raising the individual income tax from 3% to 9%. It says either of the options could raise the $6 billion that property taxes are bringing in this year to pay for local governments and schools. The figures were presented to the Commission on State Tax and Finance Policy yesterday. The panel of lawmakers and outside tax experts is exploring ways of reducing local government's reliance on property taxes. They may have recommendations for the General Assembly to consider as early as November. For the latest newscast online, go to wyol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Disagreements between the state's chief executive and legislature over a budget resulted in the longest overtime session in state history. That feud has now escalated and is making its way to the judicial branch. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is suing a fellow Democrat, the Speaker of the Illinois House. Blagojevich quietly filed the lawsuit in a Sangamon County Circuit Court on Friday. Amanda Vinicky reports.
Illinois was supposed to have a budget by the end of May. Governor Rod Blagojevich insisted any spending plan include universal health care, and there wasn't enough support in the legislature for it. So Blagojevich called the General Assembly to Springfield for special sessions until the matter was settled. The legislature finally passed a budget in mid-August, but because it didn't expand health care, the governor called for another special session. House Speaker Mike Madigan told lawmakers to ignore it and to go home instead.
My advice to all members would be, don't come to Springfield. We've done our job.
Most were more than happy to oblige and have not returned to the Capitol since. The act clearly angered the governor, angered him enough that he's suing over it. In the lawsuit, Blagojevich alleges Madigan is trying to eradicate the governor's constitutional authority. It also claims Madigan has blatantly disregarded the governor's call for sessions on matters that are of grave importance to the health and safety of Illinois residents. Blagojevich is asking the courts affirm that he, as governor, can hold special sessions and determine when they take place. To some, the whole issue would seem to be moot, as Illinois now has a budget. The governor signed it into law last week. But Blagojevich's spokeswoman, Rebecca Rausch, says there are still critical issues for the state to deal with. She says it's important the governor maintains his authority going forward.
The bottom line is the governor of the state of Illinois filed an order. The Speaker of the House ignored it. That's a problem, and we're asking the court to clarify it.
Those outstanding issues include things such as funding Northeastern Illinois' transportation network and a possible infrastructure program for the state. To accomplish either will require cooperation and compromise, and it's doubtful the lawsuit will help matters. Furthermore, points out Madigan spokesman Steve Brown, the House did hold sessions throughout the summer at the governor's command. Brown says that the governor trivialized the process, though, as he failed to introduce any proposals on these matters for the legislature to consider. In fact, he says, most of the sessions were sparsely attended. They often lasted for only a minute each.
There's no disputing that he has the authority to call special sessions, but when he makes a farce of the process, the best thing members can do is save the state, what we calculate, $40,000 a day and not waste the taxpayers' money to come to Springfield.
Brown adds that Madigan had previously made clear the House would convene to deal with any outstanding issues anyway. Brown says the lawsuit is without merit and that the Speaker will seek to have it dismissed. Some believe that the whole episode is a political stunt. Special sessions were also poorly attended in the Senate. But notably, Blagojevich is not suing his ally, Senate President Emil Jones. University of Illinois at Springfield professor Kent Redfield says it may also be an attempt by the governor to deflect criticism over cuts he made to the budget. Redfield says whatever the reason, it won't make the public happy.
I think the general public's reaction to this is that both sides should kind of grow up and quit playing games.
That's not to say, says Redfield, that there isn't a legitimate constitutional question. Redfield says the framers of the state's constitution included a special session provision so that government could address important issues when the legislature was not regularly meeting.
I don't think the people that wrote the Constitutional Convention could not have imagined a situation in which the governor was using it to kind of micromanage the legislative session, and that the legislature would get to the point where they were just ignoring special session calls from the governor.
The governor is asking the courts to interpret just what the framers of the state constitution did mean. Ironically enough, one of the individuals who helped rewrite the constitution in 1970 was none other than Michael Madigan. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois today, sunny skies with a high around 92 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, the low around 65. For tomorrow, partly sunny. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high around 90. Mostly cloudy Wednesday evening, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 62. Mostly sunny Thursday, the high around 82. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 28th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.